year, but do you feel that you've gotten out of it what you wanted to put into it before you embarked on it?
Well, I guess maybe you're never completely satisfied with the results of spring practice. We had some major problems, particularly in our defensive secondary, which I think we have solved, and with our offensive line and our offensive halfbacks. Our line has shown some improvement this spring. We think personnel-wise we have the people aligned there at the positions that we'd like to have them, and we think that the line has some potential, although I don't believe they're ready to play a football game yet. We still feel we have somewhat of a problem at one tackle position, but other than that, I think we have prospects, I think, of a pretty decent offensive line. We've always felt that's been one of the strong points in our game, and we certainly wouldn't want to play next year without a good offensive line. Our halfback situation, of course, Bobby Glover can give us real good tailbacking, and we have three sophomores playing the other positions. The backup man behind Bobby has been Eddie Maloney, a sophomore from Youngstown. And then we have two sophomores, Dick Adams, a transfer, and Jay Bennett from Akron, our wingbacks. Mike Paez looked pretty good at split end also, who's a sophomore. But and Thompson, I think, more than anything else, Ted, has made remarkable improvement this spring. He's passing much better. He's much more poised and free swinging quarterback, which he has to be in order to be a great one. And I think he's got the potential to be a real fine quarterback this year.
So many armchair quarterbacks thought that you were just waiting for the freshman to come up, Archie Strimmel, but that's not the case. Kent will be number one.
There's no question about it. Kent's our number one quarterback, and you can't underestimate the importance of that year of experience. And the only thing that he really lacked a year ago was the fact that he was not a real accurate passer, and we've always felt that he had a good enough arm to be a passer. He just hadn't had enough experience at it, and I think this spring proves that because he's passing much better. Our passing game actually is one of our strong points because we really haven't had a great blocking line in front of him, and until we get that, why, we're going to have to rely a whole lot more this year on the passing game.
Just going and scanning the roster on that offensive line, especially only really one of familiar face in Dave Hutchins, a lot of newcomers in there, and as you say, it looks like a rebuilding year.
It definitely is up front, and I don't think you can underestimate how complicated offensive line blocking is today, the assignments and the things that you have to do on, because they get so many variations in defense and defensive charges, and we have so many adjustments on our plays, particularly a simple play like the fullback running off tackle. It takes an extreme amount of preparation and adjustments and quick thinking, and it's really tough. And of course, Dave is the only fellow that was a regular there for us a year ago. And then, too, it helps to have Gary Arthur, who's had a real good spring, and of course, we think he's a real fine tight end. And those two sort of anchor that offensive line, and we have to get these other people coming along. We feel Ted Pachaitis has made remarkable improvement at center after making the switch this spring. I think he's going to be an outstanding center. I really do. He's just he's an aggressive, quick football player, and it's a matter of mastering the position, which is going to take time. Our guards are quicker than any guards we've had, although they lack size. And sometimes they're forced with a mismatch of a man playing over them. If they play a defense where they bring their big tackles in over our guards, our guards will not go much over 210, and that creates some problems. The other tackle has been a real problem. Mike Flagg has looked pretty good in there, but he's just a young kid, and he needs a lot of work in there yet, and that presents a problem. But I think we'll be all right, but it's, you know, you've always felt you've had real fine blocking lines, and it's going to take time for this one to come around, but I think it will.
Chitus has a real job and gaping hole to fill with the graduation of the great Paul Krasula for 2 years. A good one.
Well, I think that's true, and center's a really important position offensively, but Ted has all the equipment to do it, and we couldn't ask for a more competitive, hardworking kid to put in at that position, and that's really the reason that we chose him, because it's a very difficult position to learn. And I think he's done well. He'll be a fine center, and I think he'll be ready by the opening game, because he has come so far this spring, and then we'll have time to work with him for 2 or 3 weeks before we open.
I see a couple other changes you've made. Bill Leftwich, who was used mostly on the specialty teams last year, has gone to defense, the safety position. And then Timmy Fortney, who was the split end, he's listed as an Apache. Of course, you didn't have Tim for all of the practice, did you?
No, we thought for a while there that we may lose Tim academically, but fortunately he has an opportunity to make that work up this summer. But defensive secondary was a problem for us because Dickie Bourne was the only returning regular from a year ago. And unfortunately, Dick will not play in the game today because he sustained a knee injury yesterday. It's going to keep him out of the game. And it's a knee injury that's going to worry us all summer, I'll tell you that. It's one of those problems that you'd never like to see happen, particularly to a fine athlete like Dick. But he may have some problems with that thing this summer yet. But in our defensive secondary, we moved Leftwich to safety because of the importance of the safety position in the passing game. And Bill is an excellent athlete, one of the fastest backs we have, and can jump and has good hands. He's a good tackler. He's impressive with his tackling. He's been bothered by a leg injury most of the spring. As a matter of fact, he has a broken toe now that he's playing with. But Bill has come along real well. And then Paul Schroeder's been playing the right halfback position over there. And a young fellow by the name of Randy Matheny, a boy who we encouraged to come to Miami without the benefit of a grant and aid, has won the starting position at Apache. And it's been remarkable to us the way he's taken to the position. And I think he's going to be a good one. Now, there too, he lacks experience, but I think he'll be a good football player. The other fellow that I can see that has really bolstered our defensive secondary is Jeff Lieberman. Jeff, as you know, was a quarterback a year ago as a sophomore and didn't get an opportunity to play very much. And we moved him into the secondary, and he's just been real outstanding this year and is going to play a lot of football this fall.
Now, how about this spring game? Have you set it up in a way that it's going to be competitive, or do you have the top players on one of the other red or white teams? How have you gone about in compiling the team?
Well, Ted, during our 20 days of spring practice, we do a lot of scrimmaging our first offense against our first defense. And those scrimmages have been extremely rough, but I think it's the only way that we can really find out what we're going to have in both phases of the game. But all of that scrimmage is behind us now, and we wanted to make a game that would be competitive and as balanced as we could, and sort of make it a fun competition. We wanted to give an opportunity to a lot of the fellows that have been on the second and third clubs to play regularly on a team and play with some of the outstanding players that of the first units. So we divided them up as evenly as we could. And I hope it's a real close game, and I hope they have a lot of fun playing it, because really that's the reason that we're doing it. And although there'll probably be a lot of mistakes because these teams have not worked a lot as a unit, but I hope it's a real competitive game and they have a lot of fun playing it.
Do you think from an athlete's point of view, from the ball player's viewpoint, that spring practice is perhaps the lowest part of the practice that he has at Miami, because he knows that it's still months and months before you're actually really playing for keeps? Do you have to find it sometimes hard to get him up for it, or do you find it easy?
Well, I think that's true, Ted. Of course, I think it's more difficult for the veteran than it is for the freshman who is coming up as a sophomore. They're anxious for spring practice because they have to beat a veteran in order to win a position. And it's their first experience of moving into varsity competition, and it works out real well. I think the sophomores keep the practice going because they put a lot of pressure on the upperclassmen to do well. And, of course, every football player has pride, and a senior-to-be doesn't want to look bad with against a sophomore-to-be. So I think all in all, our spring practice and attitude-wise has been real good. We always wish we could accomplish more, but attitude-wise, I think it's been real good.
Well, you came so close last year to taking the MAC, and I want to wish you success with this year's team.
Well, thanks, Ted.
Bye. Die Freundschaft mit dem französischen Nachbarvolk. Im Aufgabenkatalog der deutschen Außenpolitik weit oben rangieren zu lassen. Dies ist Außenpolitik im guten Geist der deutschen Demokratie. Aber Freundschaft, und ich sage das ebenso offen, Freundschaft bedeutet nicht, dass man einander nach dem Munde redet. Es wäre also unaufrichtig, wenn ich nicht auch bei dieser Gelegenheit sagte, dass unserer Meinung nach die Zeit gekommen ist, die europäische Gemeinschaft zu erweitern, um Großbritannien und andere die mitarbeiten wollen. Ebenso deutlich muss ich auch hier sagen, dass es auf dem Wege zur europäischen Sicherheit und zu ihrer Garantie unserer amerikanischen Freunde bedarf. Und dass wir uns das sich organisierende Europa nicht mit dem Rücken zu Amerika vorstellen, sondern mit dem Wunsch nach enger Zusammenarbeit über das große Wasser hinweg. Meine Damen und Herren, die andere Weltmacht, die Union der Sozialistischen Sowjetrepubliken, feiert in den nächsten Wochen mit unverkennbarem Stolz den 50. Jahrestag ihrer revolutionären Geburt. Ich meine, es ist nicht unsere Sache, darüber zu richten, ob die zweifellos großen Erfolge, die die herrschende Partei aus dem Land und für das Land gewonnen hat, nicht auch unter geringeren Opfern erreichbar gewesen wäre. Die Sowjetunion trägt als Weltmacht große Verantwortung für den Frieden in der Welt, und diese Verantwortung trifft sich mit der unseren für den Frieden in Europa. Das demokratische Deutschland, so meine ich, muss und wird der Sowjetunion widerstehen, wenn und solange sie versucht, durch Druck oder sonstige Mittel ihre Vorstellungen von staatlicher und gesellschaftlicher Ordnung zu einem Exportartikel zu machen und sich damit in unsere inneren Angelegenheiten einmischt. Aber das demokratische Deutschland kann und das deutsche Volk möchte ein aufrichtiger Freund der großen Sowjetunion sein. Und dabei ließe sich hinzufügen, dass Größe auch Großmut zeigen kann. Nicht, dass wir darum bitten, aber eine Sowjetunion, die die Lebensrechte des deutschen Volkes respektiert, hat nicht nur, weil sie mächtig ist, das deutsche Volk nicht zu fürchten. Und wir, die deutschen guten Willens, also die große Mehrzahl, wollen mit dafür sorgen, dass nie wieder eine Kriegsgefahr von deutschem Boden aus entstehen kann. Das Gesicht der Sowjetunion hat sich gewandelt in diesen 50 Jahren, das Gesicht Deutschlands auch. Unverändert geblieben ist die Geografie, die die Völker der Sowjetunion und Deutschlands zu indirekten, aber engen Nachbarn gemacht hat und bleiben lässt, ohne dass deshalb die Lebensrechte des polnischen Volkes beeinträchtigt werden, das, wie wir verstanden und in der Regierungserklärung vom 13. Dezember 1966 gesagt haben, in gesicherten Grenzen leben will und soll. Wenn wir uns umschauen in Mitteleuropa, so können wir nicht vergessen, dass die heutige Lage das Ergebnis des Zweiten Weltkrieges ist. Was geschehen ist, ist insoweit nicht ungeschehen zu machen. Dies sage ich zu denen, die das bei uns zu Lande wieder glauben und zu denen, die draußen noch immer nicht vergessen können oder wollen. Dies liegt im deutschen Interesse, jawohl, aber es liegt ebenso, und davon bin ich tief überzeugt, im Interesse aller unserer Nachbarn, an einen Frieden zu denken, der neben allen anderen Vorkehrungen dann sicher ist, weil niemand mehr störende Veränderungen wünschen wird. Wir wünschen die Verständigung und eine gute Zusammenarbeit mit allen Staaten im Osten und Südosten Europas. Und wir werden trotz vieler Schwierigkeiten dahin kommen. Das Gerede vom Scheitern unserer Ostpolitik ist nicht ernst zu nehmen. Die Sowjetunion weiß, dass wir im Kreise ihrer Verbündeten nicht im Trüben fischen wollen. Sie sollte außerdem wissen, dass die Freundschaft mit Deutschland, so wie die Geografie es will, für sie eine wichtige Frage ist, die sie sich, wenn nicht heute so morgen, erneut stellen wird. weil es im Interesse beider Völker liegt, einen entscheidenden Faktor der Friedenssicherung zu schaffen, einen Ausgleich, den niemand zu fürchten hat.
Kern und den Realitäten der deutschen Außenpolitik gegenüber unseren europäischen Nachbarn, die eine absolute Friedenspolitik ist, sagte Brandt gegen Schluss seiner Rede in Berlin.
Die Bundesrepublik Deutschland hat keine Alternative zu einer Politik, die die Sicherung des Friedens zum obersten Richtpunkt macht. Die Bundeswehr ist kein von uns souverän im Sinne altmodischer nationaler Politik einsetzbarer Machtfaktor. Und selbst wenn sie es wäre, gehörte ins Irrenhaus, wer auch nur mit diesem Gedanken spielte. Unser Verzicht auf Gewalt, den wir in eine völkerrechtlich verbindliche Form zu bringen bereit sind, ist nur eine logische Folge unserer Politik des Friedens. Es bedarf keiner Begründung, dass Verträge dieser Art geeignet sein können, die Atmosphäre in Europa bedeutend zu verbessern. Sie würden Meilensteine auch dafür sein, die beiden Teile Deutschlands aus dem Prozess der Entspannung, Annäherung und Zusammenarbeit Europas nicht auszuklammern. Wer an unserer Aufrichtigkeit zweifelt, soll uns beim Wort nehmen. Wer noch immer Furcht vor Deutschland hat, dem werden wir sie nehmen. Wer uns misstraut, wird kein Vertrauen gewinnen können, wenn er nicht den Versuch zur Zusammenarbeit macht. Die Bundesrepublik Deutschland ist in ihrem inneren Gefüge, in ihrer wirtschaftlichen Potenz und in ihrer Lebenskraft stärker als die Republik von Weimar. Dennoch ist zugleich alles schwerer. Lassen Sie uns dafür sorgen, dass der kühle Blick für die Wirklichkeit, in der wir leben und in die Möglichkeiten unserer Politik nie verdunkelt wird, von der teuflischen Mischung zwischen falschem Idealismus und rechnerischen Illusionen. Gerechtigkeit auch für Deutschland werden wir nur erreichen, wenn wir Deutschland frei halten von dem ewig Gestrigen.
Das waren Ausschnitte aus der großen weltpolitischen Umschau, die der deutsche Außenminister aus Anlass des 100. Geburtstages von Walter Rathenau in der Freien Universität Berlin gegeben hat. Für heute auf Wiederhören.